Our study continues at this time in the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, and we're ready to begin at the 6th verse. In this first part of this 34th chapter, God is showing how the shepherds, that is the leaders of the people of Israel, both the spiritual and political leaders, had utterly failed in their duty. They had refused to feed the flock. They had not strengthened and healed the flock. They had rather fed themselves and lived off of the affluence of the flock at the great expense of the flock or of the people. He talks about the flock being scattered. They are separated where they can become the meat to all the beasts of the field. And as a result of this, then, he says that there is no shepherd. They are scattered because there is no shepherd. So those that are in the position of being a shepherd and who do not do their duty, who do not responsibly look after the flock, then they actually become no shepherd. You can't just be a shepherd and not do the duties of a shepherd. So Israel was in a condition of having no shepherd. And God was most displeased with those who were in this position of authority, who had misled the people, and who were greatly responsible for the condition of this nation as a whole. So in verse 6 he says, "My sheep wandered through all the mountains, and upon every hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them." So those that were run off because of oppression, or because they were in such circumstances that they had to leave, nobody went to search after them, nobody went to seek after them, and consequently then the whole nation was scattered. It was scattered throughout various countries. So beginning with the 7th verse, God's going to show how that he has discharged these shepherds from their office because of their insufficiency, because of their treachery, because they had not carried out their duty. Verse 7 says, "Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not the flock." Now he reviews in this 8th verse precisely what was happening and what wasn't happening. The flock had become a prey. The flock had become meat to every beast of the field because there was no shepherd. That is, nobody doing the job of the shepherd. When you've got somebody who claims to be a shepherd but he's not doing the job of a shepherd, then there's no shepherd. Neither did my shepherds search for my flock. Whenever those got lost, they didn't search for them. When they got sick, they didn't try to heal them. When they had a broken part, they didn't try to repair it so that it would heal. But rather, the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Now, the shepherds did look after themselves. They took care of themselves. They ate the fat. They used the wool. They killed them that were fed. So they got all the benefits of being a shepherd, but they didn't put out the work that the shepherd should have put out for the benefit of the flock. So my shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Now they might have acted this way because they were lazy shepherds, because they didn't have the will to put out the energy that's required to take care of the flock. Or they might have acted this way because they were ignorant. They didn't know how to take care of the flock. It doesn't matter what the cause was, whether it was laziness or whether it was ignorance or it was a combination of both. Still, they were no shepherd, and God is very displeased with them because of this, and he's going to discharge them from their position. Verse 9 says, "Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them." So he's going to take the shepherds out of their position of authority. He is going to be against the shepherds. Of course, we know any time God is against something or somebody, they're against a formidable force. They're against a force that they cannot overcome. You're going to have to make peace with God. You're going to have to reconcile yourself to God, or there is no way out. And so that's the case with these shepherds that are unfaithful. He says, "I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand." That is, they're going to be held accountable. They're going to be held responsible for this flock. Now, in the temporal world, we can see how that could get to be quite expensive. Let's say that a shepherd was in charge over a flock of 500 sheep. And if something happened to the flock, and the shepherd had to go and pay the master the price of the flock, he was held accountable for them, then he would be much more attentive to his duties. He'd be very careful not to lose one little lamb if he was going to have to pay for it. Well, that's the way it is with the flock of God and those that are shepherds over this flock. He says, I will require my flock at their hand. And this very same principle is taught in the New Testament to the bishops there in Hebrews 13, verse 17. He says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is improper for you. So even those in the New Testament who had the rule over the rest of the church, over the rest of the flock, they were to be obeyed, because they watch for your souls as they that must give account. They're going to have to give an account for how they watch. They're going to have to give an account for what happens to these souls that they are in charge of. Now, it doesn't mean that the souls won't have to also give an account for themselves individually. They will. They'll have to give an account for their own sins. But those that are in charge, those that have the rule, they then are going to also be held accountable. And we had the same thing given about the watchman who sat on the wall. If he sees the danger coming, and if he warns the people, and the people do not heed the warning, then he is free from his obligation, and the people are held accountable for their sin. But if he doesn't warn the people, not only are the people held accountable for their sin, but the watchman is also held accountable because he didn't give the right warning. And so it is with these shepherds. He says, I will require my flock at their hand. And as we can see what happened to this nation of Israel, the whole situation was in a state of absolute chaos and failure. Most of the nation had been carried away into captivity. Only just a few remnant persons were left in the land, and even they were being displeasing to God. And so the flock had undergone a very great destruction. And those shepherds, those who were responsible for taking care of the flock, this great loss was going to be required at their hand. And not only that, he says, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. I'm going to take them out of their position. They're not going to be given this charge, this duty, this obligation. They're not going to have this office of being responsible for and feeding the flock. I'm going to cause them to cease from feeding the flock. And neither shall the shepherd feed themselves anymore. Now, not only are you going to not have the obligation for feeding the flock, but you're also going to lose your position of being able to feed yourselves, to live off the flock. You're not going to be paid for doing something that you didn't do. So you're not be able to feed yourselves anymore. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. We're going to have a situation in which you are not going to any longer be in a position to eat of my flock. I'm going to deliver my flock from your mouth so that they will not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Now, what God is saying here is that I am going to take the place of these unfaithful shepherds. I will be the shepherd, and I will then be the one that will search my sheep and seek them out. I'm going to undertake myself the job of bringing my sheep back into the fold. Not only am I going to search for my sheep, but I'm going to seek them out. I'm going to find every last little sheep, every individual one. I'm not just looking for the bulk. I'm looking for every individual that is worthy, everyone that is faithful, everyone that is a true child of God. I will find them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. So he describes this carrying away of the people into captivity as though it was a cloudy, dark day. A great storm came. It scattered the flock, and they were scattered into various places. And so he's going to be like the faithful shepherd. They will seek out the sheep and deliver them out of all places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. He's going to bring them back to the fold. And, of course, we know that today, we as members of the household of God can look to God as being our great shepherd today through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He does seek us out. He does bring us back. He does give us opportunity to repent. He does give us the way to go home if we will but take it. And so in verse 13 he says, "And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places in the country." Now this is referring to the bringing back of the people from the captivity. And it occurred during the time of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Zerubbabel, in which the people did come back. Although it was only a remnant that came back, those that were faithful, those that were truly desirous of going back and enduring the hardships that it would take to rebuild the city and rebuild the temple, they were allowed to go. So not only is he going to bring them out from the people and gather them from their countries. Now these would be the countries to which both the northern and southern kingdom had been scattered. He was going to bring them back and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers. They're going to come to their own land, back to the land of Israel, back to the land they originally inhabited, back to this land of Canaan that God had reserved for this people for so long a time now. They're going to feed on the mountains of Israel and in all the inhabited places of the country. The cities would be rebuilt. All the places of habitation would again be restored to this people. Verse 14, "And I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be." So they're going to be fed in a good pasture. In the 23rd Psalm, he says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." So here he says, "I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be." As a flock would desire to go upon the high mountains for the suitable grazing, for the excellent conditions of pasturage, so shall the children of Israel have their fold in a good place. There they shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. So they're going to be allowed to go back and go back in a good way and have the things that are pleasing to them. Verse 15, "I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God." So he is the great shepherd, and he's going to have a time in which he acts as the great shepherd of this people. Of course, they're going to have to act like a flock. They're going to have to appreciate him as a shepherd. They're going to have to obey his voice if they are his sheep. But he gives the picture of feeding the flock, causing them to lie down. And these are the duties of a shepherd. These are the very things that any shepherd would do for his flock. "I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick." So God's going to take care of all the needs of the flock. Seek that which was lost, bring again that which was driven away, bind up that which was broken, and strengthen that which was sick. And of course, you know, today as we deal with each other in the church, we all have a responsibility to each other. We have a responsibility to seek those that are lost, to bring them back. We have an opportunity to show them the way to come home. We have an obligation to bind up that which was broken, that is, to assist in the healing of those spiritual wounds, of those spiritual hurts that our fellow brothers or sisters in Christ may have, and then to strengthen that which was sick, to apply the balm of Gilead, to do whatever is necessary to help bring about the strengthening of those that are infirm. But he says, "I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment." When he speaks of destroying the fat and the strong, this seems to be referring to those shepherds who had not been faithful. They had not discharged the duties of their office like they should. Rather, they had lived off of the flock. They had eaten the fat. They had eaten the cream, as one translation says. They had taken the wool and made themselves garments out of it. They had used this flock to get all they could for themselves, but yet they had put nothing into the flock in the way of taking care of, cultivating, and protecting it like a good shepherd should. So he says, I will destroy the fat and the strong. Those that were the original shepherds that had gotten fat and strong off of this poor, neglected flock, he says, I will destroy them. I will feed them with judgment. Instead of being able to eat of the flock, eat of the good things that the flock produced, they would be fed with judgment, with the judgment of God, with the charge of having neglected and been derelict in their duty to God's flock. And consequently, he's going to hold them accountable for the consequences that were due to their neglect. So even though this people are going to be brought back, they're going to have the temple restored, they're going to have the priesthood restored, and all the articles of worship to God restored as they should be, they're going to be another intact nation. God still is not going to overlook the fact that these shepherds have been unfaithful. He's going to attend to them. He's going to have them to reap the consequences of their neglect, and he's going to feed them with judgment. Beginning with verse 17, he no longer talks about the shepherds, but he turns to the flock. And he says, But as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. He's going to now judge the entire flock. And there are those in the flock that are also being oppressive to other members of the flock. So that he's just going to be able to pick out the true faithful sheep from the flock to really be the ones that he's going to protect. And also we'd like to note here that the shepherds really are a part of the flock. They are simply members of the household of God. They're fellow human beings. And so the figure doesn't hold true in every respect, because the shepherds are really a part of the flock. And in reality, shepherds are humans and the flock are sheep. But here, the flock are also human as well as the shepherds. So when he's turning to the flock, this would include the bad shepherds, include those leaders that were not doing their duty, that were oppressing the poor, that were misleading the people, because they're just another member of the flock in reality. So, as for you, O my flock, behold, I will judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Now, he's going to judge between individual members of the flock, and he's going to separate the good from the bad, between cattle and cattle, and between the rams and the he-goats. That is, those that were powerful and strong, those that had the dominance, those that could run over somebody else, God will be the judge then as to whether or not they are right or wrong. And as we begin this portion of the passage, we have to think very strongly about the fact that he's referring to the coming of the Messiah. This is the coming of our Savior. He is one who's going to pass the judgment. One of the purposes of his coming to this world in his first coming was for judgment, and one of the purposes of his second coming is also for judgment. In John 9, verse 39, Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world. That's one of his reasons for coming, was to be able to pass judgment. And here we find that he says that he's going to judge between cattle and cattle, and between the rams and he-goats. And again, along this very same line in Luke 1, beginning with the 51st verse, he has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. So in this portion, we know he's talking about the Messiah, and he's comparing the people of God to the flock, to the herd, and he is going to pass judgment upon them. And he describes their behavior as though it was the behavior of a flock that had gone derelict in its duty. He says in verse 18, Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures. Not only have you eaten up the good pasture, you've taken all the good things for you and made yourself fat. You who are bullies, you who run over the others, you who have no regard for the needs and rights of the other members of the flock. But you've also then taken your feet and trodden down what remained. The part you didn't want to eat, the part that somebody else might have been able to have used, you just wasted it. You took your feet and you have trodden it down. And to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. You drunk the good water, you drunk what you wanted, the nice, fresh, deep water, and then when you got through, you fouled it with your feet. You washed your feet off in it and made it muddy and contaminated so that the rest of the flock would have to take the contaminated water. So he's given a picture of a flock that has no regard for the poor, for the sick, for the maimed. They are doing all that they can to oppress those that do not have the strength that the leaders and the so-called bullies of the flock may have. And this, of course, is very applicable to those of us today who may be affluent, who have plenty. We may throw away things that somebody else could have good use of. And we may defile or destroy something that somebody could use. We may waste our money and our resources on things that are really not much value to us, that somebody else could take and put to good use who is poor and who is needy. So this is very descriptive. Then he says in verse 19, "And as for my flock, they eat that which you trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you foul with your feet." So the flock has been forced, my flock, my people, have been forced to eat and to drink that you fouled, that you've made dirty, that you have rendered to be unfit for use. That's all that's left for them. That's what you forced them to use. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle." God is going to pass a judgment. He is going to make a determination. He is going to do what is right. He is the judge of all the earth. And as it said of him in Genesis, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" He will do right. He will pass judgment. And so we cannot escape the judgment of God. If we've done the things that are wrong, God's going to know it, and God's going to step in and defend those that have been wronged by us. Well, we're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.